Okay, well, we are plugged in and ready to rumble, that's for sure. And well, it's Sunday, the 14th of April, 2019, here in Sydney, Australia. Welcome. You're listening to the Kras Files podcast with Adam and researcher author Jim West plugging in with me today. Fantastic to have you here, Jim, all the way from New York City.
Yeah, great to be here. It was quite a trip.
Yeah, good to plug in with you when I can go over your research, but everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com. So lots to go through, CRAZZ, krazfiles.com. You can check everything out on that website. Please do, lots going up all the time. What's been happening, Jim?
Well, I have this fantastic new research based which is focused on the events in New York City, which I think are probably worldwide news. And that there is a huge measles epidemic here in Brooklyn, and the government has decided to mandate vaccines for measles and fine anybody who doesn't get a vaccine in these areas within 48 hours to fine them $1,000. And JFK Jr. has filed lawsuit on behalf of the residents in order to resist this fascist attack on Brooklyn. And so my contribution here, as usual, is to figure out what is causing, rather than fight the vaccine idea, whatever, I just want to know what is causing these measles epidemics. And I'm finding that they're being caused by the power plants, which are upwind and very close to these epidemics. So I wrote an article, and it's on the web. It's a blog on the web. And there it is.
Just
I
recording.
think you saw it.
Yeah, I got it there. I was just
Yeah.
fixing my Skype up for you there. Yeah, so you have more room on your screen. Yeah, it's amazing. I been following that as well. Following that here, because we get the same rubbish going on in this country. We're kind of following you, the news columnist. I did a show the other night, Jim, on it as well. Propaganda Apocalypse. Called it because they got the Sunday papers coming out last weekend, writing this article, "Deadly Measles on the Move," and it's the disease on the move, and it's all propaganda and nonsense, and they're trying to spook everybody about all these so-called cases they're talking about, and they can't really conjure up anything that's believable here at all. As well, so I was going over that, the whole trying to spook the public on with the whole measles thing. But this case in New York and your mayor have kind of taken this to a whole new level, indeed. So I've been putting that up and following all of this. You look at this guy and this scenario, and all these people sitting up there, and I guess all these buddies in the drug industry and CDC. It looks like something out of a horror movie, Jim. This kind of
Yeah.
stuff. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
Well,
you're
you
on the
could.
ground in New
It's
York,
a,
you're seeing it all, so,
yeah. Well, I actually haven't driven over to the area and looked at it. I was thinking of doing that, but I mean, what am I going to find? A bunch of people getting, walking around. I mean, it's a small part of the population that's getting sick. I think is in the last 6 months, it's been like 200 people, but they're using that as an excuse to order a vaccine mandate because if one person dies, they don't want to be responsible. Of course, they don't care that they're poisoning the hell out of everybody with the power plant pollution. And by getting into this whole vaccine anti-vax drama and this whole measles, deadly measles, which is not even deadly hardly. I mean, like it's not a deadly disease, but by pretending that it's a deadly disease, they're raising the drama in order to distract everybody from the real cause, which is the air pollution in the area. Every time there's a disease here, I always check out the weather, and I find that the wind has stopped and the air pollution is pooling. It's building up, concentrating, and people are getting sick. It's very simple. And I've been doing this kind of study for probably 15 years, you know. So, and in fact, I think that's the reason you're sick. And you probably have a power plant upwind from you, and it could be 50 miles away, you know. But if the wind is steady blowing in your area, then you're going to get it, you know. And you were telling me you had a hoarse cough, and other people have these coughs and fevers and this and that. And I mean, this just sounds like air pollution, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got a bit sort of crook there last week, actually, out of the blue, which doesn't happen much. I don't know. Yeah, it's always hard to
put your finger on. So what day did you get sick? And you told me it was like the 4th, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you were like the 7th, and your friend was like the 4th. The dad that you met.
I'm seeing a lot more people sort of coughing around Sydney now, and around the area as well, with coughs and stuff like that as we go into the winter. So that's the cover for it. Everybody just assumes that when the winter months come, you just get sick. But you know, the flus come with that, and the media loves to push that because they push all the flu shots and everything. But I don't understand, because the season changes, why does that mean that you're going to get a virus? But, you know, you look into all this stuff always, kind of things that people don't normally assume or look at. And I find that very interesting.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, I hate being sick. And so figure if I have to choose a vocation, it should be avoiding sickness. So that's my profession, avoiding sickness. And I try to pass the what I find on to other people, you know.
Yeah.
Now, the reason they say it's seasonal actually makes some sense, because, you know, when the wind blows from a certain direction, or, I mean, there's certain seasons where the wind just stops, you know. And there's certain seasons when the wind comes from a certain angle. And so if that wind is coming from industry, then everybody's going to get sick. So it's seasonal when the wind is blowing from the mining industry, from the power plants, whatever, then it's going to be seasonally happening. When it's blowing the other way, you're going to be lucky. You're going to be healthy. Air pollution is going to disappear, you know. So there is a seasonality to this stuff in a way, you know. So that's the argument. I would agree that there is some seasonality, you know.
It's if we look at your part of the world in New York, I just put up another article yesterday that this clown, what is this clown's name? Mayor Bill de Blasio. This article, it's saying, Jimmy, I guess you can confirm any of this stuff, that they're sending disease detectives door to door to make sure everyone's got their vaccines, in a shocking turn of events, and a certain zip codes also around New York City, which I've got here, and they're talking about covers people who live in the zip codes of Brooklyn's Williamsburg neighborhoods, where more than 250 people have gotten measles. Those zip codes, and they go on with all the numbers here and where the places are as well. But he's this guy looks like a real stooge to me, and he's sending disease detectives door to door. Now, they knocked on your door, Jim? They knocked on your door?
No. I'm not in that area.
You're out of the area?
That area that they're looking at is in Brooklyn, the epidemic area.
And that's it. And
yeah, they're only concerned with this area in Brooklyn called Williamsburg.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're raising the heat in that area on everybody, and they're making a big deal out of it. And you know, they don't want anybody thinking about the power plants, you know.
You were talking about a pretty high vaccination rate, though, over there, and they're kind of desperately trying to find unvaccinated people to blame it on.
Well, they claim that most of the cases were unvaccinated because they happened among the Orthodox Jews and the Hasidics, who don't like vaccines, you know. So, you know, I was thinking I should become Jewish, you know, because I think they got the right idea, you know.
Don't but, do that, Jim. We don't want you to do that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that as a group they're resisting. And actually I was on the internet looking at trying to get the idea of what was happening, and there was one Jewish newspaper which very diplomatically gave some very interesting information. There's three epidemics happening in the New York area. Two in Brooklyn, one's Borough Park, the other is Williamsburg, which is the hot spot, and then there's another one in Rockland. Now they're all happening at similar times in the season, you know. However, the one in Rockland is happening among a group of people who are 94% vaccinated. The one in Williamsburg is happening among a group of people who they claim are not vaccinated, don't like vaccinations, you know. And they're trying to blame this whole disease on the unvaccinated. However, they're not mentioning that the epidemic is also occurring among a fully vaccinated population in Rockland County. And in Rockland County, every day they have inspectors go out and kick any kid out they can find who's not been vaccinated, kick them out of the schools. They do that every day. They have a regular fascist routine for vaccination in Rockland. So that's a total contradiction. So hang on one second. I'm going to close the window.
Sure.
Back live.
Well, yeah.
There's a rumble outdoors or something anyway.
Not coming to kick your door in and vaccinate you, Jim.
Yeah, it might be some inspectors out there, but
continue.
So I mean, there's a big obvious contradiction in this, and this one newspaper wrote it up, and it was really cool. It was in a very diplomatic way. You could tell they didn't want to be too obvious, but they wrote it up, you know. And also, I was reading a school, you know, Fordham University has a school journal, and they did some journalism on this whole vaccine thing. And I can tell that even though they're young college kids, university kids writing these articles, they were quite skeptical of this. And it looks like the mayor has overreached himself and made himself look like a fool. And look like he's, you know, bringing the hand of fascism down. And I think...
Any ties to pharma, Jim, with this guy?
What do you say?
Any ties to pharmaceutical industry with this guy? Because we have them in Australia. Even our former prime minister had shares, and even his wife was connected with the pharmaceutical industry, you know. Many of them are here. Wondering about him.
Well, I know that the Department of Health is completely dominated by the pharmaceutical industry in New York, and I think that the mayor's just he's just going to do his job as a politician and obey, you know. But I don't know if he personally has a connection. I don't know.
It's extreme. They're handing out $1,000 fines. I mean, they're actually doing that, handing out $1,000 fines if they come to your door and you don't want to get jabbed? Are they trying to jab people at their front door, Jim? Is that what's happening around these neighborhoods? Are they knocking on doors and then asking them if they're vaccinated and their kids, and if someone in the house isn't, they want them to get done on the spot, and if they won't, they're fining them? Is that what's happening?
I don't think that's it. I think you just have to have proof that you were vaccinated,
what if
or
you
they're going to give you a $1,000 fine.
If you don't,
you can also prove that you give them proof that you are immune to measles with a blood test. That's another way to get out, which I find interesting. You know,
bloody creepy.
Yeah, it's just something out of science fiction, you know. Unfortunately, though, I think most people sort of believe it. You know.
Yeah, well, it sounds illegal too. I think there's going to be ramifications here. And I think you're right, he's overstepped his mark. This guy's acting like a dictator, you know, in some third world country. You know, it's like it's New York City. It's not his country, but he's acting like he's going to close it all off. And I'm your master and commander now. What a maniac!
Well, you know, Trump was against the vaccines, and he actually got voted as president. So I don't think it's a bad idea to take a popular position against vaccines.
Has Trump said anything about this bozo?
No, well, he doesn't like him because he's a Democrat, but he has never said anything against the medical thing, you know, that I know of.
I'm wondering if he would step in and say something about this guy. I mean, this Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City, it's crazy. He's acting like a tyrant.
Yeah, you know, he's acting crazy. I just wish I could get everybody on board with this idea that we should stop arguing about vaccines and start arguing about the environment, you know, because the whole point of this vaccine thing is to avoid the environment. Would you think, Jim,
we'll go into that paper now, but it seems like the people who are getting the MMR vaccine are getting more supposedly sick, or they're spreading it.
The MMR vaccine. Okay, there's a lot of people who claim that the vaccine itself is causing the disease, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's another angle as well that you would look at. Yeah, and that it's a total failure and it's dangerous in itself. But that's a whole lot. That's another bag of lollies there. But could it be that these areas? But wouldn't that be everyone then? I mean, why is it? It's a cluster, it seems. But there's people who would be saying that they're getting jabbed with this stuff and they're getting. They're getting the measles, you know? It's giving it to them through the vaccine.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's hard to do because the measles virus has been killed. It's not a live virus that they're injecting. You know, I don't see how they could get the measles. It's just a bunch of protein. There are poisons in the MMR. I think there used to be mercury, and there still may be in some batches mercury, and you know, that could cause a measles-like reaction, like rashes and things, you know. But the whole point of all this, these medical dances is to keep people from looking at the environment. You know, like for instance, autism. They're saying that people are arguing that vaccines cause autism, but they really should be saying that it's the poisons in the vaccine are causing autism. They need to be saying that it's the antibiotics that are causing autism. They need to be saying that it's ultrasound that is causing autism. And forget talking about this general term vaccines, because then you bring up the specter of infection, and which is just a can of worms, you know.
It is with measles when you're looking at so what are we looking at if we go through your paper, Jim? The measles virus, is this something that you've...
Well, it's just a fake. Like, all these virus stories are just totally fake. The reason is that they avoid toxicology. They avoid the... When they devise and construct the measles paradigm, when they claim to have discovered a virus, which was long ago, they did it through the process of avoiding any mention of a toxic cause or an environmental cause, because the whole point is to create something that is not about the environment. Because once you talk about the environment, you talk about industry, you're stepping on big money toes, you're bothering some really powerful people, you're upsetting the beautiful glossy chrome shine of our technological world and replacing it with a disease causing technocracy. And they don't want that. They want people happily going into industry and sacrificing their lives and their health for industry. They don't want to pay us what the damage is worth. So they have this strict program of interpreting all disease as from either it's your fault, your genes, your weakness, your vulnerability, you've got to blow your nose, et cetera. and you know, it's, or it's a germ and you coughed, you know, that's the whole idea, which is ridiculous, you know. But this whole routine has been going on. You find the same story in the Bible, you know. Somebody gets sick, they quarantine them outside of the building, outside of the city, because they don't want the disease to spread. You know, it's the exact same routine.
Oh, it's what we've been told since we were little. Yeah, and it's what people believe. It's so hard to get out of that way of thinking. It's what you think when someone comes in contact with you and they're sick with flu-like symptoms. You instantly think you're going to catch it.
Not me.
Yeah, I know, but even when you're doing this kind of research, it's funny how kind of it's just so, it's like the layers of an onion, Jim. You know, it's deep in your subconscious, because they've just spoon-fed it to you and everybody else, you know, from childhood. It's an amazing thing, the whole virus theory, you know.
As radical as I am, I still, even recently, in fact, recent years, have been saying that the disease, any disease, is, you know, like most likely environmental. But now I forget it. It's just environmental. If it's not environmental, that would be a minor miracle. You know, all disease is any disease is a symptom of the environment, and we have extremely toxic environments. People don't realize how toxic they are because it's always hidden from us in the media, with all these stories of genetic weakness and viruses and germs, and it's constant 24/7 medical news, and stories and images of infection implanted in media, you know.
The media is the main one, Jim. I mean, the winter hasn't even started here and they've already begun, you know, pushing the whole virus thing and the flu shots, and they're telling you you're going to get the flu. And I was thinking about that the other day. I know that if you're out in extreme cold environments, you can get injured health-wise, you know. I mean, people can have they can get frostbite and they can get all sorts of problems in serious conditions out in the weather, even in heat, you know. You can get burnt, you can get things like that. But I always say to people, you know, like, just because the weather and the seasons have changed, how does that mean that you're going to get a virus? It doesn't make sense anymore at all. But there they are on the TV every day, every night in the papers, spooking the hell out of the population that you're going to get a virus this winter because it's going to be colder. But just because it's colder, what does that mean?
I can tell you that the concept of a virus does have a value to me, because when they say, because for one thing, in the winter, there is a greater chance that you will get ill in terms of influenza, because in the winter, people will close the doors of their house. They will turn up the stove and cook a hot bowl of soup, and they'll poison the hell out of themselves inside their cozy little apartment. And they will get sick as hell. And that's why people wake up in the morning with the flu. They usually get sick overnight because they cook and cook, and then they shut the windows and go to bed. Okay, now you're in a sealed room of toxic carbon monoxide, formaldehyde, et cetera, from the gas stove. You're in a sealed chamber, and by morning, you're ready to vomit, you got a fever, and you have the 3-day influenza, and the only hope is if you open your windows, you know. But a lot of people, they continue to close the door and cook, and they will die, you know, of influenza. And or they'll go to the hospital, and the hospital will finish them off by putting them into a coma or putting them on antibiotics or whatever, you know.
I'm wondering, Jim, if you were to go out and live in a cabin for a few years with no EMF, just, you know, no lighting, no phones, no flu shots, none of this stuff, no heating, no fire, nothing, that you just sort of rugged up, didn't experiment on yourself, what would happen to the flu theory?
Well, I tell you what.
You'd still be cold, wouldn't you? You know?
I would get a severe case of cabin fever.
Go bananas?
I would go crazy.
I'm just wondering, because it's true. It's true. Yeah, it's already happening. People are rugging up inside and closing everything and poisoning themselves inside and then getting the flu. The flu virus. It's blamed on the weather. But yeah, why doesn't the summer bring a virus then?
Well, you know what cabin fever is, though, right? You're talking about... Okay, so I that joke I worked out okay, right?
It's all right.
Okay. I don't know if you have the same term in Aussie land as in the United States.
Uh-huh.
It's the same term, right?
Cabin fever?
Yeah.
Well, just being stuck in a small confined space in it and going crazy.
Yeah. When you go in the country, yeah, you go through. Okay, well,
I'm giving a severe hypothetical. I'm just sort of thinking if you took yourself away from all of that, but still, you know, you were still in the wintertime and cold and everything, but you just took out all the gadgets and the heating and everything, you know?
Well, also you have to make sure you're not downwind from a power plant.
Yeah, I mean, just a hypothetical, a crazy one. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were away from all that and weren't exposed to any of this stuff, just like...
You're not going
to
get sick.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you'd still be in a cabin cold and you've got to rug up and use blankets and socks all this stuff, right? You're still very cold and you've got to go through the winter and all of that. But mm-hmm. are you going to have these viral flu outbreaks? It'd be a good sociological experiment.
I remember reading medical journals from the 50s. This is back before the world was totally discovered. And they were in the 50s, they were announcing that they had found disease-free regions in South America among the indigenous people.
Right.
People who had never had disease didn't know what disease was because they lived in remote areas. You know, I remember reading the New York Times about the mountains in like Uzbekistan or one of those places, Soviet satellites, where they found a community of disease-free people and people who lived to be 140. You know, and all they ate was pure water and vegetables and fruit and fermented dairy. I mean, they like dairy. You know, a lot of people claim you can't eat dairy, but these people ate dairy every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they were in an area where there's no pollution. That's the whole idea.
That's probably raw dairy as well.
Yeah, sure.
It would have been homogenized and pasteurized and, you know, and killed.
Right, right. And it would be it'd be fermented because that's what happens when you don't have a refrigerator.
That's right.
You don't need a refrigerator.
And it's got all the raw enzymes.
Right, right. You have real food, you know, and you don't need a refrigerator if you're willing to eat fermented food, you know.
It's full on. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So, and there's cheese. That's a fermented food, you know. So, the thing is to trust your symptoms. Your symptoms are like these meters. They are sensing pollution. So if you cough, immediately you should start looking around. And well, it's hard to look around if the source is like 100 miles away in some industry, because a stack industry could be flowing, you know, quite a distance, you know. But anytime you cough or whatever, anytime I sneeze, I look around and there's always like a big fluorescent light bulb like over my head, you know. Some EMF source. Developing a catalog where you can get back in touch with your own senses so that when you do have disease symptoms, you have to view those as a form of eyesight. That's what symptoms are. Your eyesight actually began in the primitive animal, in primitive evolution. It began as a symptom of light, you know. It's a light response. Eventually, it became more sophisticated until you ended up with the eyeball, you know, and the retina, etc. But it just starts out as a symptom, you know, the perception of light is a symptom. You could call it a disease symptom, but it's not a disease because it's pleasurable, you know. If it's unpleasurable, you call it a disease symptom. If it's pleasurable, then it's a sensation. But we have to get in touch with our symptoms, and so we can see the world around us. You know, the media is 24/7 trying to cut you off from your own perception, from perception of symptoms, because it wants to control you. The system wants to control you. It's a hierarchical corporate system. It wants to exploit you and use you for labor, et cetera, whatever. you know, use you as a victim, as a patient, or as labor, and make money from you, have you working in the mines, right, without complaining about the coal dust. So if the canary in the coal mine gets sick, the system, the doctor will tell you to ignore that. It's a stupid canary. You know, you have a disease, and it's your fault.
Yeah.
And that's
they've
all.
They got lots of different names for the diseases, too.
Right.
Lots of different drugs for them. Yeah, once they label that, those symptoms, isn't it? And they take you into the doctor's office and they tell you, Mr. Smith, you've got this disease or this cancer or you're suffering from this and this is the drugs you need, then they take you down the garden path, don't you? Because you're...
Well, they try to use a Latin term. So you go, oh, you know, like you may have a sore throat. So they'll tell you, oh, well, they'll give you a Latin name for sore throat.
It's really a comedy, isn't it? Like an unfunny, bad comedy that's been going on too long.
Yeah,
you're just tired of it, you know? There's all these, like, out-of-date, bad actors in there. It's like, oh, my God, I want to change channels, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm starting to make – this is another breakthrough for me, in unhypnotizing myself. It's really a mass – hypnotism, mass propaganda thing. It goes on since the day you're born. And I'm just now sort of breaking through to the point where I don't apologize for talking the way I'm talking. You know, I'm done saying, oh, well, it's probably environmental. It's environmental. It's just the only problem is figuring out where it came from, you know.
Well, let's talk about your paper a little bit. You haven't released it fully yet, but we can go through it, The Measles Emergency.
It's on the web.
Yeah, well, do you want me to post it as well? Are you ready to have it posted out? We can do that.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't.
Sure.
I was talking about on the last podcast about this. So we got The Measles Emergency, harvoa.org/med. What is this, Jim? It's like a new sort of blog you're doing?
Well, if you just go to harvoa.org, you can then drill down.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
And you'll find these topics, and you can go into the mandatory vaccine topic, and you'll see my article about this whole thing in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and how I have maps and pictures of the power plants, and you can see how close they are to the epidemic, to the epicenter.
Absolutely. I got that out in front of me. You're saying the science behind this mandate of the measles omits environmental factors environmental causations. It's hard because we're doing the podcast, but I'll put the link up so people can read through it, and I'll try and put the pictures into the YouTube clip as well. But you got all the measles as a cover story for air pollution in Brooklyn, which is very interesting. And you're talking here about the measles. It's a childhood disease claimed to be caused by a virus. However, children are very susceptible to environmental toxicity, such as air pollution. Makes sense in New York City. You're over there looking around and you're talking about where should we start so much here? We'll probably talk about these power plants, Jim. I mean, you're there so you can give a good sort of... idea to the listeners out there. Some people would be in the US or in New York listening to this. When I put it up, they'll know what you're talking about here, but you're directly right. in the zone here with these power plants.
You can see the map, right?
Yes. Yeah. Just looking at that now.
Yeah. It starts
and you've got
right
the arrows
the
there
map.
And the wind prevailing and everything.
And you can see two big circles, which is the two epidemics.
There you go.
Right? You see the two big circles?
Yep, you've got around the yellow ones, yeah. And you've got those are the hot spots in
Brooklyn.
In the zones, yeah. In the postcodes.
Those are the two Brooklyn epidemics.
There they are,
Williamsburg,
right there.
Yeah, and Borough Park. And upwind from each one has two power plants.
It's almost direct hit looking at this map.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Upwind. And these things, you know, one power plant can put out the equivalent exhaust of 85,000 automobiles.
Tell us about the actual power plants in question here, Jim.
Well, all four of them all four of them are doing the job. Any power plant that exists is going to create these problems.
What are these called, these places?
What are what?
The power plants. What are they called?
The name power plants.
Yeah, no, you had a name.
Well, they have, well, one is Con Ed, 14th Street Station.
Right.
The other one is called Brooklyn Navy Yard. And then there's one by the Eastern Coast Power Supply Company. I forgot the exact name. But one's called the Narrows Power Plant, and the other's called the Gowanus Power Plant.
And what's produced all these places?
What?
How long have these places been there? What do they all produce? Just big power plants. That's it.
They're like a big building, on like 100 acres.
I saw you put up one little picture. I saw the stacks. Yeah.
Well, it was a bunch of pictures of these things.
Yeah, I got it here.
Yeah, they're ugly looking buildings.
Yeah, they are.
All they do is produce power, and they have these big smokestacks.
Invisible toxic gas.
The smokestacks are not even high enough to go over the buildings, which is really stupid. To have a smokestack in New York City that doesn't even put the smoke above the apartments.
There's all the apartments right there.
Yeah, you're having – this stuff is incredibly toxic. It is one of the most poisonous chemicals on the planet, the stuff that comes out. Now – what you see in that picture is you see a lot of white smoke, but that's not white smoke. That's just steam. The real poison, you can't see it. It's clear. It's natural gas exhaust. Right. It's clear, but extremely toxic. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is fry up some vegetables and stand downwind from the gas stove. And within an hour, you'll be vomiting and very sick. That's a test you can do, and you can even, at the same time, you'll make yourself a nice little meal.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't eat it for 2 days because you'll be sick as a dog. But it's just natural gas exhaust. It comes out of these stacks.
Right. You talk about upwind power plants converting their use of fuels to fracking natural gas. So that's part of that. The exhaust may look clean, as you're talking about. They're transparent, but is contaminated with the fracking solvents. Even by itself, natural gas exhaust is extremely poisonous, as you said, carrying carbon monoxide, nitrogen compounds, formaldehyde, nice.
Yeah.
All these toxic compounds, as you said, but you can't see as well.
Mercury. Yeah, mercury is one.
Tell us a bit about, Jim, about this fracking, and they're using that now.
Yeah, well, fracking is like the major source of natural gas nowadays. And what they do is they drill into the earth and then they introduce solvents into the earth to dissolve oil that they find in the earth, because it's usually a sandy soil they're looking for. And so they dissolve the oil, then they suck it out the same pipe. They suck it out, and they have this big mix of solvent and oil and gases. Fracking gas is one part of this, right? So natural gas. So now they have oil and gas that they're sucking, you know. And then they have to separate the solvent from the oil and the gas. And then they sell these products and they use the solvent over again, although a lot of it becomes waste and goes into the water supply and ruins the environment. So that's why they gave the frackers an exemption from the Clean Water Act, you know, which is pretty ridiculous. But they got an exemption from the Clean Water Act. And so anyway, they end up with these products, which they develop them from a solvent process, and the solvent is like benzene and over 400 other chemicals, you know, many of which are toxic and poisonous. So they then end up with these with natural gas and oil, and these plants can burn either one. They can burn oil or natural gas, and there in any fires,
well, coal as well. We have a lot of coal. Huh? here.
Yeah.
But you think they're moving more to natural gas? Is this a pretty new scenario in New York City there, or they've been doing it for a long time to explain the illnesses? Is it got worse?
Well, the big expansion of the fracking industry occurred during the Obama administration, where over 1.5 million fracking wells were installed in the United States. So I assume that that the fracking gas was used. They began to convert over to natural gas. They were using oil for these power plants before, and now they're using natural gas, which would be fracking natural gas. I don't think because they were using oil, they did not have epidemics. They might be a little worse now. I'm just starting now to go back in the history, and I'm finding that these epidemics are not new. They've been occurring like every year, going back to at least 2007. And I've just begun to look. I got a feeling they're going to go back to 1950. You know, or they're going to go back to 1940. They're going to go back to forever, because they're always got some kind of factory poisoning the air. You know, there's always something poisoning the air. So, but as long as these power plants have existed, I know there's going to be epidemics. You know.
How important are these power plants? I mean, Jim, does it warrant this kind of cover-up? It seems so extreme. They're all going to waste everybody's time and all this money sitting up there, like out of some kind of bad science fiction horror movie, getting everybody to vaccinate. That would to cover for the big polluters. That would be that seems viable, huh?
Well,
they're going to extremes, aren't they? Because we haven't seen this before with the vaccine thing.
Well, I think it's just a religious protocol that any big company that pollutes, there will be denial, and the medical system will protect that industry. As you know, if you go to a doctor, he's not going to ask you if you ventilated your stove, or he's not going to ask you about your boiler system. He's going to give you an antibiotic. He's going to tell you you have a virus, and he's going to hypnotize you, basically, and have you walking out of there with a little bottle of pills, you know. When you go to a doctor's office, you don't get an environmental review. You should, but the doctors are trained to avoid looking into the toxicology of any disease. You know, they're the protectors of industry.
That's right. Yeah. How big would we? What are we looking at here in New York City, Jim? A big industry. I mean, you've got an aerial view here of the stacks, and you're saying four stacks alone of toxic exhaust from a generating plant rated at 660 megawatts. That is the same equivalent to approximately 85,000 automobiles cruising at 40 miles per hour.
Right.
that's a lot.
Right. And that's blowing downwind onto these neighborhoods where they have these disease epidemics. Why should it be a surprise that they're ill? You know, when they built those four stack power plant, they promised the activists who were negotiating with them that they would raise the stack height so it would go above and away from the city. They never did do that. They left them these short stacks. These are pretty short stacks. When you consider you're in a city of skyscrapers and high-rise apartment buildings, and you only have stacks that go up at like maybe 16 stories, I mean, that's pretty weird. You know, I mean, they know damn well they're poisoning the hell out of the population with these things. I know people who live in the area, and they live on the top floor of apartment buildings, and they're sick. They're always sick, and they don't know why. And this is obviously the reason, because if the wind is blowing in their direction from that smokestack, and they're at the same height, their apartment's the same height as the smokestack, it's like having one of these giant smokestacks outside your apartment window.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horror show.
Yeah, yeah. Just looking at some of the pictures, my goodness. You guys.
They're scary looking, right?
It's frightening with these huge smokestacks there and all these massive apartments with probably hundreds of apartments in those big buildings right around. And as you said, yeah, they don't go above. They're going right in people's windows.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like a little poison or a little, like your barbecue or something. This is like heavy duty, heavy toxicity. Oh, you know, this is cancer. This is meningitis. This is disease. This is measles. You know, this is the flu, you know. And the ruthlessness. And they're just doing this to save a little money because they don't care. The human population is disposable. They could raise the height of these stacks, right? Cost them a couple $1 million. Nah, fuck it. We're just going to give them a bullshit story for the medical system. If they complain, to tell them it's measles and they didn't wash their hands or whatever, or they didn't get vaccinated. And that'll be enough of them. You know, they can go to hell. We're not going to spend more money on this.
Oh, I guess as long as all the lights stay on too, right? You can just shut up. They've got to keep
One nice thing about these poisonous plants is that it provides a lot of work for the medical industry. They make a lot of money off this, you know?
Yeah.
If everybody was healthy in the city, there'd be no work for the medical system. And right now, the medical system is 1/6 of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, but New York's got to function, doesn't it, with all the lights and power?
It needs electricity.
Yeah.
But with the LED lights, air conditioning, I mean, yeah, it needs electricity. But they should be talking about not using electrical devices so much. You know, there's an argument that says the best thing to do about the electrical problem is not to use electrical devices, you know. But they don't want that, you know. That would be putting a tourniquet on the technological technocracy, you know.
It's getting insane.
That's the future of the world, right? So they do need electricity, but they need to also face the realities. Right now, the system is saying that it's more efficient to let people die than it is to try to solve the environmental problem.
So Mayor Bill's covering for big industry.
Yeah.
He's probably got big buddies in the banking industry and big industry. They're all in cahoots together, aren't they? So, I mean, he's just doing his job, I guess, come up with a bullshit story about a virus and cover for all of them.
Well, they're giving him the story.
Big pharma make money as well because everyone's getting jabbed.
he's just a politician, so he's the front man.
He looks like a puppet. Yeah, he looks sort of like a sweaty guy. He's uncomfortable. He looks
he looks horrible.
Yeah, he does.
That's why I think that even the media is beginning to wise up. People are starting, because of the internet and all that, I think people are wising up. And that's why when the guy develops the film for the TV or develops a film for an internet journalism, the mayor looks a little weird because, you know, everybody now is thinking, hey, fuck this guy, you know? So now you have you have people, you know, I was reading a lot of articles and they are giving a little bit of normally they're paranoid of saying anything against pharma, but now I notice there's a little bit of you know, there's been a lot of anti-vax out there. A lot of people are starting to have that in the back of their mind. And now they're given the face of, like you're telling me, you're given a face of the mayor that doesn't look it doesn't look dignified. He looks like a robot.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a socialist puppet.
He does. He looks like a puppet. Yeah, yeah, like a ventriloquist.
Something out of 1984, you know.
Yeah, out of those old cartoon things called the Thunderbirds with the puppets, you know.
Yeah,
he just needs to do his tie up so it, like, you know, cuts his.
He looks like a puppet. Yeah,
yeah, he's a real shill looking guy. Yeah, I know. I think you're right. Most people can see that, but it's a desperate thing.
Sort of like, yeah.
I heard a lot of people. Yeah, he was getting they were phoning people to ask about vaccines, they were telling them to piss off and hanging up. You know, probably slam their door on their faces too. Hopefully, people are not going to buy this. This is insane. But I've been through it all. It's all about kind of vaccines and measles and everything. I've been on YouTube channels, all over the alternative media everywhere, looking at this case and what's happening. It's all about him and his mandates and the measles MMR vaccine and the virus and all of this stuff. But I have not read one single piece anywhere that I know of that's talking about smokestack pollution and contamination here in New York City. Only you, my friend, and me, which is good. There you go. It's a first.
Yeah, right.
This is the first, Jim. I don't know any. Yeah. I can't find anything. No one's mentioning it.
There are people concerned about it, and there are articles talking about, you know, stack pollution and air pollution and all that.
They're not making the connection, though, with the measles virus theory.
Right. They're not connecting it with measles.
Once they bring in the measles, all that goes out the window, and that's all anyone thinks about, you know?
Right. I think that a lot of toxicologists and environmentalists probably suspect it, but everybody's afraid to say it out loud. I've been told by the I've been at some of the highest echelon meetings of some very high environmentalists, like executives in the environmental nonprofit world, and they've told me that anybody like me who's a professional will lose his job. He'll lose his connections, his publishing connections, his network, and his money. He will lose this overnight if he criticizes these diseases in the way that I'm doing it. If he criticizes epidemics in the way that I'm doing it, they will lose their funding. Everything will be gone overnight. However, see, I'm not part of any official movement. I don't have any credibility because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a professional. I'm not a part of a nonprofit. I'm nothing. I'm a person with a hypothesis, you know, and I think they will probably allow me. See, they would allow me to talk because I'm not effective, you know. It's like the underwear that the magic underwear, you put it on, you get a big boner. But if you take that magic underwear off, the boner disappears. Mm-hmm. So I'm like the person who can talk. I have the less power you have in this world, the more truth you can say.
That's right.
That's the contradiction. The more power, the less truth you can say, because your prominence is now a target for threats and bribery.
That's right. Well, our listeners won't get that anyway.
Yeah.
This is real independent podcasting, Jim. You're right, you do. You see a lot of people, happens all through the alternative media. Some of these guys, they get bigger and then something seems to happen with them. They seem to sell out or something, and then you turn around, they've got these big studio sets and huge guests and money thrown in everywhere. There's money hitting them in the head, you know, rolls of cash. It's like, where the hell did these guys get all this new technology and sets and thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of followers from?
Then you start looking at
their info and you're thinking, you know, something's wrong with these
guys. You're thinking Joe Rogan.
All of them, Alex Jones, Joe Rogan. I don't really trust any of them. And I think it's all theater now. You know, I think they've turned it all into a theatrical sort of thing. You know, it's like a comedy act. It's entertaining to keep you along, you know, and interested. It's interesting, and the guests are interesting, but, you know, as for the info and if they've been compromised, you know, I'd say so. You have to be you know.
You won't find any of them. You know, one time Alex Jones would critique, like, the polio paradigm, with saying it was caused by DDT and things like that. He did interview somebody who plagiarized my polio DDT work. I know he interviewed this guy who ripped me off. I'm just saying, as an example, he has presented anti-pharma information, but, you know, he's been scared over the last year. So they tamed him.
Yes.
And then Joe Rogan used to not believe in the moon landing, but now he he believes in the moon landing now that he's famous. Now that he's making big money.
Whatever they tell him to believe in, if the money keeps coming in.
Yeah, well, he knows what he found out where the line is. You know what you can say, what you can't say, and now he plays that game. You know.
Oh, once that money comes in, you know, you could get those nice cars and things. You know, I mean, yeah, just keep.
So if they offer you a nice house in a remote, beautiful area where there's no pollution and your family is healthy and happy, and they offer you $1 million or $5 million a year for your podcast, would you sort of toe the line and say, okay, I don't think I'm going to be talking the truth?
No, I couldn't. I'd take the new house and the money and anything else they offer, but I wouldn't continue to do the podcasting.
No, you'd have to do the podcast.
No, I couldn't do it. I'm not a good liar, Jim. I'm terrible. I really am.
Well,
I'm a terrible liar. Yeah,
no,
I'm really bad at it.
You're not good liars.
No, I'm not like that. No.
You're not a good liar.
No, I'm not good at lying or anything like that. I don't know. They'll train you. No, thanks. No, you know, because it just goes downhill from there. And, you know, and then you're compromised. Then you're kind of owned, you know. You're sort of owned in a way, you know. Nothing happens for, you know, you're going to have to pay someone back someday.
Okay.
Making a deal with the devil. You know?
You're not gonna take that million and.
No, only if I could disappear.
And your family's gonna be sick, and you're gonna be living in polluted areas for the rest until your family dies.
I know, but at least I'll be keeping it real, you know.
If I had to choose between a polluted life, I mean, if they told me, shut your mouth, and we'll give you $5 million. And you can live anywhere you want. I think I might just say, that sounds great, man. I'm going to buy myself a really nice motorcycle. I'm going to move out in the country.
Yeah, but you wouldn't continue to write books.
And I'm not going to write any more junk. I'm just going to enjoy life. You know, I'll write a cookbook.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll do that. Yeah, but I wouldn't continue to do what I'm doing.
Oh, well, you can choose topics, like cooking topics.
Yeah, why not, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, you can talk about food, and you can say double entendres.
That's right.
You'll get the word out through these double entendres, you know.
Well, it's just one of those things, Jim. Yeah, it's one of those things. It's crazy, you know. Alternative media, the whole thing's just crazy in its way, you know.
Yeah,
we're doing this, and I think it's the I think it's so important, and I you know, and so real, and you know, it's critical stuff, and I think people will enjoy it. But you know, you're not going to get invited on Dr. Phil. You know, I mean, Joe Rogan's not going to get you on his show. None of these people are going to get you on their shows if you're putting out certain info. I think, you know, if you're doing stuff on vaccines and that the MMR vaccine's dangerous, you'll get on big shows. But I think talking about this this stuff, you know, Jim, is really dead wind, isn't it? As you say,
yeah, right. You can't get anywhere if you talk about the environment. Now, you
know, the ultrasound as well. I mean, my God, I thought I'd be seeing you. This would just be so much bigger, and no one wants to talk about the ultrasound.
So you got fooled, huh?
I don't know. We've been doing it for years now, and it's
And you thought that you
it's
you,
not going
you'd
anywhere.
Ride my coattails to fame and glory, right?
No, I mean, I just wanted to get the information out there to women who are pregnant and have human beings growing inside them. You know?
Oh yeah,
that they
right.
would be horrified by this. That people would be just horrified by all of this, but you know, it's hard to get that out as well. It's just not a common theme that people pick up on. Vaccines are, you know, it creates a lot of stir and excitement and anger and passion. You know, you're not going to get that over the ultrasound. I don't know. I would assume that there's a deep concern in New York City for this kind of pollution that you're talking about in this paper. I mean, that's really frightening. But I guess the whole MMR thing and the measles thing keeps everyone in you know, arguing and distracted from looking at the pollution as well, doesn't it?
Well, they're not really looking at the source.
At even the when real they talk cause. About
yeah. when they talk about the vaccines, the people who really talk about the chemicals in them, I don't think they're the first to be selected. It's more like they want to talk to people who are talking about, you know, like the effect of the virus in the vaccine. You know, they, yeah, I don't know, but maybe it, I'm,
it's
it, whatever.
It's,
what do you think?
yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, when something like this comes in and they're forcing people to do things, it's going to create a lot of problems, a chain reactions of problems, you know, and then you're getting people wound up in the whole measles thing, whether it is or it isn't. And then you've got the MMR thing and it's going all around the news, but no one's looking, you know, at what could be the serious real problem, the elephant in the room, like the ultrasound, you know. It's yeah. like a burglar coming into your house and robbing your house, Jim, and then just sort of distracting you at the same time while he's taking all your stuff, you know. I don't know, it's like watching TV at home and someone's just robbing you blind, and you just, you know, you're looking at the TV yelling away, you know. You got serious power plants here right within hitting range of New York City, and I think you've offered a really incredible paper here.
Well, they're you know, inside.
It's very important, man. And you're not just talking about measles. You're talking about influenza as well. And you're talking about that this is deja vu. It's been going on through the years, which you've studied as well. This isn't the first case.
No. I've done a lot of this. And I've had a SARS, which is SARS epidemic. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
That was back in Hong Kong. Well,
that's
I did a research on that. I had that published. I had two articles published on that. And that, according to my finding, was just air pollution. Because for one thing, it happened in Hong Kong, and almost all the cases occurred above the 10th floor. You know, that's obviously air pollution coming from stack pollution from China or somewhere. Some kind of stack pollution is coming, comes like a strata, you know, over the city. And so people over the 10th floor would get sick. And that was SARS, you know, that's, it's like a joke. To me, it's so obvious, you know.
H1N1, you know, as well.
H1N1 is a different, that's the bird flu thing.
Mm.
And that also, I've looked up some of those epidemics. I've checked the weather, and the wind is like going 0 miles per hour. John Rappaport actually did a story with me on that. Noting that the H1N1 in some of these foreign countries like Russia and Romania and all that, the wind is like stopped in these industrial areas. So the pollution just builds up and people get sick. And that's what they call bird flu.
Is this what you're really saying here? You're saying air pollution syndrome?
Yeah.
This is
a lot of these diseases are air pollution syndrome.
Air pollution, you know, syndrome.
Yeah.
Kind of adds it all up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, then I did that on the same page you're looking at. I have that story which refers you to an article I wrote for Townsend Letter of Doctors and Patients, and that was a story on a school epidemic in Queens, New York. And the school happened to be right next to a major expressway. And the odd thing about that epidemic is that for 12 hours straight, before the school opened up, the wind was blowing straight as an arrow from the expressway into the school. So the school was loaded up with heavy air pollution. Within 30 minutes of the children walking into the school in the morning, they were vomiting, fever, laying on the floor, you know, waiting outside the nurse's office. It was a big disaster. The medical system just declared it to be an H1N1 bird flu epidemic, and that was the end of it. And then the city, they had a forum for discussion, and I asked if they had done any toxicology tests, and they closed the entire forum, you know. So, but this is standard, you know, and then I give an example of the London.
You do. Yeah, looking at that now.
Yeah,
influenza epidemic.
Yeah, I mean,
1952.
6,000 people in London died. 25,000 were qualified for illness benefits, disabilities. And this city tried to claim it was a flu epidemic from the flu virus. And eventually they gave up and said, okay, yeah, it's a smog epidemic, you know. And, you know, the city was covered in coal smoke, and they had the audacity to claim it was a flu epidemic. You know, a bunch of liar, you know, compulsive liars, you know.
Yeah, the whole system. City covered in smog.
And they're trying to say, well, this is the flu, you know.
They're telling you it's the flu, yeah. Well.
You know, what a bunch of, you know, real jerks, you know.
Looking here, New York City, 2009. That's the H1N1 virus epidemics you talk about there. Oh, yeah, it's the school epidemics as well.
Yeah, that's the school. You see the school right there?
That's right.
Right by the expressway.
Yeah, 12 hours of polluted air. 12 hours of polluted, contaminated air flowing directly from an expressway into a school.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. And so they had another flu outbreak there, I guess.
Yeah, so that's where they began vomiting when they walked into school at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, and, you know, it's the same thing. Now we have maybe a slight variation of chemicals coming out of the plant, the power plant exhaust, and that would maybe cause skin rashes. So they call that measles, you know.
Yeah, and asthma symptoms big as well, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Respiratory, asthma sort of type symptoms.
Right, it's respiratory symptoms, you know. It's all constant 24-hour bullshit, you know. I think if you dug a hole and crawled into it, you'd probably be better off.
That's what I said here in the papers I was reading out the other night, the deadly measles on the move in Australia. If you were to look at this paper, Jim, and the heading, deadly measles in black, bold letters, you would think it was the end of the world. And
it's this, not even deadly.
No, and this prostitute is talking about all these cases from December 29, 2018, about a young adult holidaying in Thailand. They don't say the person's name, there's no links, nothing. They're just telling you they were here and there. You know, and here's another one from the ACT, a visitor, was in this place. And then January, they moved there. Child visiting from overseas was in areas of Sydney. And this person, 20, was in the Philippines. And this person came from Pakistan, and he was here in the airport. And it's like,
they brought the virus.
Yeah, they had the measles virus. But where's the evidence?
The virus was in their suitcase.
Yeah, where's the evidence and the toxicology reports, as you say, environmental reports? Who were they, what they had? All this kind of stuff. It doesn't even say who they are. And then there's people like babies with thermometers, and then, they got these doctored, what do you call it, like measles images over their faces and hands with the spots. It's not even real measles. It's like, Photoshop, Jim. They Photoshop babies' hands and faces with measles on there. And then they're pushing the No Jab, No Play campaign in Australia, which is the mandatory vaccination thing that Murdoch newspapers have been pushing. And so they're coming up with these preposterous copy and paste measles epidemic rubbish, offering no proof or proper statistics or links for anybody to check. And this is on the back of the New York thing as well. So we get the same dogma here. They're all a bunch of zealots, part of a cult. That's what they are. But you know, looking at New York City, you got some serious industry here right on your doorstep, throwing this pollution out. That's amazing. You know, must be going on for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's on your doorstep too, man. Because you've been telling me your family's been ill. You've been ill. Your neighbors and friends have been ill. And this is life, modern life. This is the way it is in modern life. You know, we have so much polluting industry around us, you know. I just got to get all the details and look upwind from your area, you know. But I know you're by the ocean, you know. But
oh, yeah, take a look at Newcastle. That's where all the coal comes from. All the coal is up there.
Oh, Newcastle?
Yeah, Newcastle, about 2 hours from Sydney. It's a massive, massive coal center. All the ships come in. It's got big, huge piles of coal there, and all the dust blows all over the city, you know.
Oh, so it does come around the city, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, that all the processing and all the all that's if the dust is coming around there, then oh, I see. If that's the case,
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's a big, big center. That's the big center, 2 hours from Sydney, where there's a lot of coal. And I have some friends up there, so I've stayed a bit, and I can kind of smell it and taste it at night, you know.
Yeah. Well, that. So you can sometimes smell it, right?
Oh well, you can up there. You can see the big piles on the shipping ports,
but not in your area, right?
Yeah, no, not here. But you know, they have the areas around, like the Hunter Valley and you know Upper Hunter Valley, where they're doing all the mining and stuff. I mean, I don't know. You know, you get like very windy days as well, where all stuff's blowing around the air, and I tend to get clogged up a lot. You know, sort of allergy type symptoms, very clogged. But you know, and as well, another whole thing, I don't know, but I don't know what they're putting in the atmosphere. I mean, I can see them some days putting this spray stuff, the planes in the atmosphere, which they call chemtrails, but they're not contrails. I'm not stupid. They're putting something up there. I don't know what they're spraying, but it's coming down as well.
What is the closest little town you're near? Are you near Mona Vale or?
Yeah, around that area. Yeah.
Okay. Cause that give me an idea. Cause, I'm trying to figure. I mean, you've got a sore throat and this and that, and I'm wondering where the hell, how could that happen? You know, but a lot of times when you think you're living in a beautiful natural area, there's a power plant out there. You know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, of course.
Or there's some industry, because they love to put industry in these beautiful natural settings, because they don't want to poison the city any more than it's already poisoned. Wow, so you are in a beautiful area, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, not much happening, man.
happening. Yeah. No deadly excitement?
No, not so much, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the deal. If people want to see pictures of power plants and maps of the relationship to an epidemic, they can check out my website. You
know? So I can post this article in full with the podcast. I'll do that tonight so people can have a listen to the show and also read through this paper, because it's very important. I think people read this and stop and think. Like all these events, Jim, they like to pump out mass fear and confusion, so people keep looking in the other direction, away from the real causes here. So it's good you've kind of put this down in bullet points, and you haven't made it confusing. It's not a big paper. You've just put all necessary points there. And to someone like me, I'm a layman, Jim. I'm still researching this. I would look at this and look at what they're saying and the so-called measles epidemic and look at the work you've done here. It makes sense, especially when you're showing the map here. You've got the Williamsburg and Lower East Side, East River there, and you've got the, you know, and then you've pointed out the hotspots of where people are getting sick, and you've got the winds and the directions there. It looks like a dead hit, a dead on hit, bang, right there from these plants.
Right, and I give the wind tables. You can check it out for yourself.
And the dead wind. I mean, something that's obviously been carrying on in New York then, and it's going to continue into the future, and they'll just keep covering up these people because they don't have any souls.
This kind of thing has been happening forever, and it'll continue to happen forever. But individually, we can spread the word for our own benefit, you know, and instead of living a life where you die a torturous death from some unknown cause, you know, at least if you see what's happening, you have a chance.
Yeah, sad for people to get sick and die and not know why, or be told that it's this or that, and given the runaround, their whole medical history becomes smoke and mirrors within the medical system.
Right.
And they never know, their family never know, why were they so sick, what happened to them? Talked about that with John Rappaport as well. You mentioned him on the show, how, you know, many elderly people or whatever go into hospitals or nursing homes and get sick, as we were talking about with you as well, Jim, and disappear basically in there and die. And the doctors come out with their pens and say, oh, well, they, you know, we tried to do this or that and whatever it was, and they're gone. And it's like,
we did everything we could until,
yeah, you know, one minute your grandparents are at home or someone you love's there, they're right in front of you, and next minute maybe something happens or they're not well or they get put in a hospital, and next minute they're coming out and telling you they're gone. You know, because of some complication, and in that respect they really become serial killers. You know, these doctors walking around the corridors of these hospitals are like serial killers, you know. Knocking these people are disappearing. And then the parents are thanking the doctors and going home, and no one's ever connecting the dots back to what they, you know, may have been given or what happened or why the complications occurred. But, you know, I can imagine in some of these areas people are sick for a lifetime. A lot of these places, it's very common in big cities and places where there's a lot of coal dust and there's a lot of industry polluting. They never know, Jim, through their family lines, why they're always sick and their kids are sick and they're producing sick children. That happens a lot throughout time and history. It's never connected back to the power plant next door, you know. You're always being told by the doctors and medical system that it's something else. Don't look there. You've got this, right. You've got that. You need to take these drugs. We need to manage it. Don't stop taking them.
You have to look at your illness as like the nose of a hound. I mean, they're really telling you all you need to track down the cause. You know, very often the cause is right in front of your face, so it's like you cooking on your stove. You got to look as close as possible to yourself before you start looking far away, you know. It could be the T8 two lights above your head. It could be the CFL light next to your head, or on a wall on the other side of the wall where your bed is at, where you can't see these CFL lights, but they have the circuitry, you know, they have the switch mode circuitry generating radiation, which can cause you to be sick. You know, there's all these things you have to, you have to learn how to read your own symptoms. Because that is your eyesight. You know, the medical system wants to call your symptoms a disease, and they want to stop those diseases. But those diseases are your eyesight. They are the symptoms are your eyesight, you know. They are telling you what's happening.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, it's exactly right. Even if you're on the computer too long, I start to feel ill. Your eyes start to hurt, you get a headache, you know. It's like that, you know.
Yeah, but meanwhile, if you say, can electrical radiation cause disease, they say absolutely not. The doctors say absolutely not. They're instructed. They're instructed. The World Health Organization has a strict protocol where it tells doctors not to try to relieve any patient from an electrical device. Give them pills. Give them an explanation, bullshit, but do not try to remove them from an electrical device, because that indicts the electrical device.
Crikeys.
Yeah. You know, it says there that the symptoms of EMF poisoning are quite severe, but do not instruct patients to remove themselves from the area. You can treat them. But don't tell them, you know, it's a typical thing, which is to avoid the toxicology. You know, that's the hidden rule of medicine, is avoid toxicology, you know.
Yeah, well, keep selling the drugs. Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Well, well said. Absolutely. Well said indeed. And we'll plug out now, and I would direct people, I'll put the link up anyway to your site, harvoa.org, but you did the great book, DDT Polio, Virology vs. Toxicology. that's an amazing book for people to get. It's incredible. Only one of its kind in the world, I'd say. Where you're talking about poliovirus and these pesticides like DDT being sprayed in the environment, more of the same. So that's a great book for people to go and buy. Anything you want to say before we plug out for today's show, Jim?
Hey, just thanks for having me on the show, you know.
Great work that you've done. I'll post that as well. I think you've done a great job here. Well done.
Thank you. I hope people read it.
On your measles emergency 2019.
Yeah. Well,
yep, we need it. We need your work, mate. So great work. And we'll chat again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Take care, and we'll chat again soon, Jim.
Good night.